Well, we're going to read God's word again, and this time it's the New Testament. And we're going to read from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 8, and from verse 31 to the end of the chapter. So Mark chapter 8, from verse 31 to the end of the chapter. And the reading begins, it says, "And he," that's Jesus. So let's find out what happened from Mark's account. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.' And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels.'" Well, over these weeks, perhaps you've been tuning into our services. Maybe you've been talking with Christians, discussing what they believe, why they believe it. Perhaps you've been reading the Bible. And maybe you know that it's true, this message of Jesus. In fact, maybe you've always believed it was true, and yet you're holding back. You've yet to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've yet to come to him. And why? Well, because it's too costly. As you see it, if I come to Jesus Christ, I have too much to lose. So tonight, two simple things to say. And the first is this. It's true. If you come to Jesus, you have much to lose. My friend, you're right. You recognize that following Jesus is all or nothing. I either surrender my life to him, or I keep control. No half measures. Perhaps you'd like to come to the reading which we had, and particularly the second half of that reading. Because Jesus puts it like this. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. "And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" So Jesus says to the crowd, he says to everyone, if you follow me, you must deny self and take up your cross. He says, following me will cost you everything. Following me, you'll have to give everything. It's all or nothing. Okay, but what does Jesus actually mean? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Well, it's not self-denial. It's not hair shirts, bachelor priests, giving up chocolate for Lent. So what does Jesus mean? Well, there's a me inside me. Let's call it self. And to that me, the me inside me, I must say no. I must deny self. Now, if you knock on my door, and I open the door and say, oh, it's you, push off, go away, I have denied you access. And every day, self comes knocking at the believer's door. Let me in. It's cold outside. What about me? What about what I think? What about what I want? And every day, the Christian has to say, oh, it's you. Go away. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Jesus says, you must say no to the me inside me. No to self. See what Jesus is saying? I am to refuse to make myself the center of my thought life. No longer about me, about my plans, my ambitions, my wishes. I refuse to worship self, because from now on I worship Jesus. I refuse to be self-obsessed, because from now on Jesus is my life. The Apostle Paul put it like this. He said, for me to live is Christ. So you see, you're right. If I come to Jesus, I have much to lose. It's all or nothing. Jesus puts it even more forcefully. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now, a disciple is not above his master. As Jesus took up his cross, so all who follow him must take up their cross. Again, what does Jesus mean? Well, a cross. Think about it. You nail people to a cross. So Jesus said, if you follow me, it means nothing less than death to self. Nothing less than the death of the me inside me. And because it's a cross, there's nothing quick about it. So at times, it's a slow, humiliating, agonizing death to self. To lose my life is to forfeit control. Self is on the cross. Christ is on the throne. So no longer is it about me, me, me. It's all about him, him, him. And you'll notice it's voluntary. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. So don't confuse crosses with trials. This is not something that's dropped on you. It's something that I choose to take up. So following Jesus means taking a one-way journey to a place of execution and never looking back. Gerald Hemmings is dead and buried. For me to live is Christ. Do you see, Christ's claims upon us are total. Either he's Lord of all or he's Lord of nothing. And so I'm to have no ambitions except to please him, except to glorify him. It's all for Jesus. It's all or nothing. So you're right. If you come to Jesus, you've much to lose. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So if I'm following him, I must put myself out. If I'm following him, if you like, I walk out on myself. My life's no longer about me. I've walked out on myself. I've broken that relationship with me. I'm now following Jesus. And his word becomes my law, and his example binds me at every point. I listen to him. I learn of him. I trust him. I follow him. I love him. In the home, when the slippers are on and the mask is off, follow me. At work, school, college, in the neighborhood, when others are watching, follow me. In the life of the church family, follow me. in my solitude. Follow me. I'm to follow Jesus wherever he leads. I am to do whatever he commands. It really is all or nothing. Well, let's up the volume a bit more. If you have a Bible, you might like to come with me to Luke's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And we read these words in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and he said to them, "If anyone comes after me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Wow. What does Jesus mean? This is very strong language, isn't it? Hate. If anyone comes after me and does not hate his nearest and dearest, hate his own life, is Jesus asking me to hate? What does it mean? Well, at night you go out, you look at the stars. In the morning, the stars have gone. Why? Well, they're still there. But in the morning light, you can't see them. The lesser lights have been eclipsed by a greater light, the light of the morning sun. So I love my nearest and dearest, but they are lesser lights. Love for them is not to challenge my love for Jesus. If they are the stars, then he is the sun. And in the light of my relationship with him, by that light, I am to live my life. Now, of course, Christians are being filled with the love of Jesus. They actually love their nearest and dearest more than before, better than before. But those loves are not to rival their love for him. If anyone comes after me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. See what Jesus is saying? If you would be my disciple, you must love them less than you love me. So if those loves clash, if those loves compete, if those loves are on a collision course, the claims of every lesser love are to give way to love for Jesus. It's all or nothing. You have much to lose. You see, if you come to Jesus, it may mean leaving the faith in which you were raised. And your family will be upset, maybe even worse. It may mean there are things you can't join in with like you used to. And your family and friends won't understand. It may mean that you make decisions for Jesus that drive a wedge between you and your family, between you and your friends. And they will turn to you and it will look to them like you don't love them. In fact, sometimes a decision might be such that they think you've turned against them, that even you hate them. Because you see, now you're following Jesus, and so now you're walking a different path. You're walking to the beat of a different drum. You're walking a different way. It's no longer about pleasing me. It's about pleasing him. And you please him, even if it means displeasing everybody else. And you can't turn back from that path, and they won't understand. And it might break their heart, and actually it might well break your heart. You've much to lose, it's all or nothing. Look at verse 33 of Luke chapter 14. So therefore, says Jesus, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Again, these are strong words, aren't they? What does Jesus mean? Renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Well, Robert Bruce was born in 1555. He was of royal blood. And after the best education money could buy, he was being groomed by his parents for a leading role in the court of King James VI of Scotland. But his parents' plans came unstuck. His parents' hopes were dashed. Why? Well, Robert became a Christian. He became a lover and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And soon after that, he felt a call to the Christian ministry, to be a preacher of God's word. And then, you see, began the struggle. God's call. God's call to be a preacher. And self said, don't do it. If you do that, you'll break your mum and dad's heart. If you go and become a preacher, you'll forfeit a glittering career. You'll be turning your back on one of the most coveted positions in the land. You could have the world at your feet. Why throw it away? What are you doing? Don't do it, said self. Jesus said, Robert, all or nothing. Therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Well, eventually, Robert yielded to God's call. And his disappointed parents gave in. But they had one condition. The condition was he would return his inheritance. All the lands that he'd been given when he came of age. So for Robert, obeying Christ meant giving up the life of a millionaire. It meant giving up a life in which nothing would be denied. All or nothing. So said Robert. I am, with a certain amount of understatement, I emptied my hands of some lands. And that I did willingly. I cast my clothes from me, my vain and glorious apparel, that's the red clothes of the royal court, and I sent my horse to market. I emptied my hands of all impediments, of everything that might hold him back, so that he could serve the King of Kings. You see, he didn't look at his possessions, he didn't look at his opportunities and say, that's mine, that's for me, 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 me. He said, it's all Christ's. Let him do with it what he sees fit. What seems best to him. Because it's all about him, him, him. Do you see? If Christ is your treasure, this world starts to look very empty. If Christ offers you a crown, why rake about in the muck? If Jesus possesses you, then the things that once captivated you lose their attraction. So, my friend, you're right. If you come to Jesus, you have much to lose. In this passage in Luke chapter 14, three times Jesus says, cannot be my disciple. That is absolute, isn't it? Cannot be my disciple. If anyone comes after me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Here's authentic Christianity. You won't find it on the BBC. And there are many countries in the world, many communities, where it's just not tolerated. Because the love and loyalty to Jesus just runs too deep for others' liking. But Jesus is saying, Jesus first, best, always. Jesus, my life, my breath, my strength, my song, my all in all. It really is all or nothing. So you're right. You're right to kind of stop and think, I get it, I understand it. You Christians, you talk to me about these things. I understand the gospel. I understand that I'm a sinner. Jesus died on the cross to save sinners. I need to come to him. And I understand that it really is all or nothing. And you're right to stop. You're right to count the cost. Because it'd be all too easy, wouldn't it, if you just heard the headlines, as it were. The promise of sins forgiven. Peace with God. Life eternal. Oh, I'll take that. I'll have that. Are you amazed to find that Jesus was asking of you everything? And it wasn't what you were expecting. And you turn around and say, this is too costly. I'm out. So actually, that's why Jesus doesn't hide these things in the small print. He puts them in the headlines too. He wants us to know. Now great crowds accompany him, and he turned and said to them, everyone's to hear this. See, it's not religion, is it? This is about life. So much bigger than religion. And that's why Jesus says, count the cost. He goes on in this passage in Luke 14. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he had laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Before you build your extension, count the cost. Can you finish what you started? Jesus goes on, or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. Before you go to war, count the cost. Are you sure you can see this through? Count the cost, says Jesus. You're right to hesitate, right to stop, right to think. It really is all or nothing. It's true. Coming to Jesus Christ is costly. Up to a point, you have much to lose. And so to point number two. Up to a point, you have much to lose. But if you don't come to Christ, you lose everything. Does Jesus ask too much? Is following him unrelentingly grim? Does death to self ruin you and spoil everything else? Well, ask a Christian. Would you go back to your old life? Would you go back to your unconverted days? Would you swap the life you have now for the life you had then? Would you swap the way things are now for the way things were then? Or if you offer them the world, anything, all, and ask them, would you exchange Jesus for all of this? Ask them. And then ask them this question. When they became a Christian, did their life come to an end? And they'll probably tell you, when they came to Christ, it's when their life began. Going back to Mark chapter 8. What does Jesus say? For whoever would save his life, this is verse 35, will lose it. But whoever loses life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. In fact, in Matthew, we read this. Jesus says, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And they'll tell you that they lost their life to Jesus only to find their life. Perhaps they thought initially, well, there goes me. There goes my life. And yet when they came to Jesus, they found their life. But it was a new life. And there was a sense in which being released from their guilt and from their sin and from their self-love, there's a sense in which they, I've never been more me. Jesus sets me free. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Now stand in front of a mirror. Okay, you stand in front of a mirror, you raise your right arm. Your reflection raises the left arm. It's the opposite. It's back to front. I raise my right arm in the mirror. It's my left arm that's been raised. Back to front. The gospel is counterintuitive. Hold on to my life. Me, me, me. And says Jesus, you'll lose that life. Lose your life to Jesus. Him, him, him. And you'll save it. It's the opposite of what you expect. And you might think it's the wrong way round, but actually, we're the wrong way round, and it's Jesus who puts us right. Verse 36, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? Now suppose you're trapped in the jungle. It's a place of disease, suffering, death. You need to get out. There's no way out. You're lost. You can't find the way out. You're lost in this jungle. But a rescuer, let's call him a savior, is parachuted in. He takes charge. He knows the way out, the way to freedom, the way to life. And he says to you, follow me. And he meets every danger head on. And he clears a path through the jungle to safety. But his instructions are clear. He says, leave your packs behind. You must do as I say. You must trust me. You must follow me. You must stay close to me. And he says, if you choose to remain in the jungle, if you don't want to be rescued, then you'll perish. Now, who in their right mind would stay behind? For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? You know the good news of Jesus Christ, but you're hesitating. You're thinking, this is too costly. But Jesus comes to our rescue. He comes into this world. He comes into the jungle. He comes into this place of disease, suffering, death. And he comes to save. That's why he goes to the cross. That's why he rises again. He's doing it to clear a path to safety. That's why he takes our sins upon himself on that cross. So that when God comes to punish the guilty, Jesus takes the blame. He comes into this world to save us from this jungle of sin and death and hell and to lead us to safety, to God's new world where there are solid joys, lasting treasure, the unalloyed joys of heaven. Now, who in his right mind would stay behind? And yet that voice is saying, the me inside me is saying, stay behind. Oh, this is too costly. I think I'll stay here. I'll take my chances. Yeah, I'm told in this jungle there's some really good real estate. And actually, I'm told there's some buried treasure. This is the place of death. And if you stay here, you will perish. If you stay here, you will lose everything. And the loss is irreplaceable. For what can a man give in return for his soul? To lose your never dying soul. To lose yourself to the everlasting burnings. That's why Jesus says to you, you need to shut that voice up. You need to put self to death. Because self-will, self-worship will wreck everything. You need to deny self. Take up your cross. And says Jesus, you follow me. Come with me. Trust me. And if you don't, on that terrible day when this world is dissolved, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself returns in burning glory and with his holy angels, that day of judgment, that day of reckoning, and you know which way the verdict will go. Well, having been ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of you. Having refused to go with him, having turned your back on the rescue mission, then you are left in your sins and you are banished into the black hole of outer darkness where there's only wailing and gnashing of teeth. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And on that day, all who have listened to self will have no one to blame except themselves. You will have destroyed yourself. If you don't come to Jesus Christ, you will lose everything. Jesus couldn't put it more plainly, could he? Lose everything. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Oh, yeah, keep everything. Keep it as it is. Don't listen. I won't follow Jesus. I know what they say and I know it's true, but it's too costly. I'll keep it as it is, and I'll get some more. And in fact, I might gain the whole world. And it's mine. But so Jesus, says Jesus, ultimately you will lose it. And with it you will lose your never dying soul. The you, the real you. And from there there's no way back. The tragedy is, my friend, that you're happy to settle for far less than the whole world. My mother was a journalist. In the 1950s, she was invited to the Savoy Hotel for the launch of a new revolutionary washing powder called Tide. If you're of a certain age, you might remember Tide. Used to have the slogan, tides in, dirt's out. And there she was at the Savoy. And there were fanfares. And there was Richard Attenborough, Sylvia Sims. And a miner came onto the stage in dirty clothes, took off his dirty shirt. And with every great ceremony, the dirty shirt was placed into the washing machine. And then the soap powder, the Tide, was added, and the machine started. And so the gathered journalists, they sat on painted gold chairs and they gazed spellbound as the washing machine washed. My mother said some of them had never seen a washing machine before. At the end of the cycle, tongs were given to Sylvia Sims and the clothes were removed, and there was Sylvia Sims and Richard Attenborough, and they held high the shirt. And it was brilliantly clean. So my mother and the other journalists left with a story to tell and a packet of Tide. For some, that was the world. Fanfares, film stars, and a washing powder. The latest thing. My friend, what's your box of Tide? What are you settling for that's keeping you from Jesus Christ? Maybe you're afraid that people will mock. Strong men are strong until they're mocked. Are you worried about what your family will say? What people will think? Maybe you're looking at it and thinking, well, I'm a bit too young. I've got lots of other things I want to do first. And if I do those things, Jesus will just get in the way. Maybe it's just a favorite sin and you want to keep it. Maybe it's a relationship, a something. And what are you doing? You're bartering away eternal life for a box of soap powder. Listen to Jesus' words. For what does it profit a man? He's pleading with you. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, only at the end of it all to forfeit, to lose his soul? Weigh it up. Count the cost. Why exchange heaven for a box of Tide? Why perish in hell because you wanted to hold on to your box of soap detergent? Do you see, therefore, there's no harshness in Jesus' words. When he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Oh, the kindness in Jesus saying those things, because that voice inside of you, which is saying, I want to keep my life, it is too costly, I want to do things my way, I don't want Jesus, that voice will destroy you. Jesus is kinder still, because he did go to that cross to suffer and bleed and die. And he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. If you like, on the cross, God cornered sin on Jesus. On the cross, God condemned sin in Jesus. So that every condemned sinner, man, woman, boy, girl, child, whoever you are, who falls on the kind arms of Jesus, can enjoy peace with God, sins forgiven, life that's so real, so full, so satisfying. The Bible calls it eternal life. Rescued, saved. Christians aren't coerced into trusting Jesus. They're not bullied into leaving all for Jesus. They've been conquered by his love. Love divine, all loves excelling. That he loved me. Loved me enough to rescue me. And all infinite cost to himself. No one has ever loved me like that. In all my guilt and filth and shame, no one has ever loved me like that. No one has ever cared for me. I never mattered to anyone as much as that. And Christians have begun to realize that he loves me better than that voice inside. And self is not worthy of my devotion, but Jesus is. He's worthy of my life, my soul, my all. So my friend, you've been tuning in, talking with Christians, reading a Bible. At times you've almost been persuaded. At times you've felt the Christians are going a bit too fast, as though you think I should be converted, and you've stepped back. What am I going to lose? This is sounding costly. Well, you will have much to lose in that sense, won't you? But not to come to Christ is to lose everything. So no more halting. And if you come to Jesus, you'll realize actually you've been jumping at shadows. Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you call to him? Talk to him, ask him, speak to him. Use that voice to say something new, something you've never ever said before. Say, Lord, I've sinned. And with me in charge, I've just about wrecked everything. I'm just a messed up sinner. But I understand you died on a cross to save messed up, wrecked, condemned sinners. So, Lord, will you save me? Forgive me. Change me. We'll use that voice now to speak to him, to call on him, to pray to him. Tonight, now. And if you're still hesitating, have you been swimming with one foot on the bottom of the pool, sort of half swimming? Well, it's okay until the water rises. It's okay until you're out of your depth. You see, it's all or nothing. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, we thank you that the cost of following Jesus is not hidden in the small print, but it's up front. But we thank you that he is the one who has come to save. And though the narrow way is not easy, and the broad way that leads to destruction is easy, it costs us nothing, it calls nothing from us, but it leads to everlasting destruction. We thank you that, Lord, those who come to you, you give them a new record in heaven, forgiven, and a new heart on earth that beats for you. And the treasures that they find in Jesus Christ are worth more than all the treasures of this world. We thank you, our God, that the way he leads is to your new world, where at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore and joy inexpressible. And best of all, to see Jesus himself, to see the King in his beauty, and to want for nothing more. Oh, Lord God, we pray you would draw us this night, that without hesitation, that we would no longer look behind us, No longer see the things that we might lose, that we might see only Jesus and find in him our life, our all, our everything. Because this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.